Impact reporting is essential to donor retention. But how do you report on the impact of a future gift? How do you effectively steward your planned giving donors? On this podcast episode, we'll go over best practices in legacy donor stewardship so that your donors remain connected to your organization and confident in the difference that their gift will make.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising, so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Welcome to the podcast episode today. I have Richard Perry with me and Bob Schaffes, our Director of Planned Giving Services. You know, a question we get all the time is about how you should approach stewardship with your planned giving donors. Now, Richard, I know stewardship is extremely important in planned giving, but what makes it so challenging?
Well, I tell you, it's challenging because it can be difficult to figure out the right strategy here. I mean, there's different types of planned gifts, and that means different stewardship approaches. And, you know, Bob's going to explain all of that in a second. But with such high attrition in planned giving, I mean, donors not following through on a gift or reducing it significantly. I mean, 50% of the people like actually change their plans along the way. So, I mean, it's critical to think about how you'll steward and report back on impact with a planned giving donor.
Exactly. And that's why I'm so glad we have Bob here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start by asking you, Bob, the same question. Why do you think it's challenging to steward planned giving donors?
Hey, thanks, Jeff. And I agree with everything Richard was just saying there. I think many nonprofits think that once they've secured a planned gift, hey, that's it.
Yep.
But in reality, these donors need to continue to have a close connection to your organization. Now, as only a planned giving guy can do, I actually have an app on my phone that figures out life expectancies.
There
and
you
so,
go.
You know, we're always dealing with people who are at the older end of your donor spectrum. But mm-hmm. somebody who's 75 years old, if they're a male, they have a life expectancy of 15.5 years. And a female has a life expectancy of 17 years. So that means you are really engaging in a long-term stewardship approach with all of your planned giving donors. Now, there are some studies that show that people actually create their first estate plans in their early to mid-40s, and often their first charitable gifts in those plans in their 50s. But estate plans are often changed right up until the last 2 to 5 years before the person's death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of time to change your mind and potentially lose connection with an organization that you used to really love. Actually, most testamentary gifts are actually put in the estate plan 2 to 5 years before death as well. Mm-hmm. So you have this dual stewardship issue. How do you steward the people that you know have done something in their plans? And how do you keep your other donors close to the organization so that when they are putting together their final estate plans, your organization is front of mind?
Mm-hmm.
It can also feel overwhelming to know how to approach creating a stewardship plan when you can't actually show the donors their gifts in action.
Well, okay. So let's just talk. I mean, one thing, Bob, I'm glad to know that life expectancy stuff, because now I know I've got more years than I thought I had. But but anyway, let's talk about that last thing you just said, because listeners of ours who've been around a while, they know that reporting back on impact is one of the things we talk about all the time in current giving, because, I mean, it's so important. So how do you, you know, how do you approach stewardship for a gift that hasn't actually come in yet? I mean, that's kind of weird. I mean, how do you do it?
Well, that's a great question. And we actually recently did an episode on legacy societies, mm-hmm. which has some really good information as well. So I encourage people to check that out. But outside of a legacy or a bequest society, one of the best ways to steward a planned gift donor is to show them what their money will do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
They should always be given information about the programs that most interest them and show them how it's making a difference and let them hear firsthand from staff and others about the effect of the program. including program staff. Those are always the people that we mm-hmm. want our donors to hear from. Exactly. Personal reports and letters from those impacted by the programs the donors interested in are among the most effective strategies to assure the continued support in their plans. Now, there's some other methods which are really useful, including something that I think every plan gift donor really wants, and that's a behind-the-scenes opportunity to see how the organization is doing things. Plan giving donor-only receptions at events and private meetings with key staff. You know, as with many things, that answer depends on the type of charity, the structure and management of the charity, and the opinion of the donor base. That can really differ from organization to organization. And if you're a theater or a museum, that is one type of behind the scenes opportunities. But if you're like a healthcare organization or a social services organization, you may have to do a little more creative thinking on how you're going to give your donors those types of connections. And having said that, for the most part, charities should still consider having a legacy society or a plan giving society, because that helps people self-identify towards something within your organization.
That's good stuff, Bob. But what are some other ways that you see organizations really creatively stewarding their plan giving donors?
Well, sometimes a donor has a space named after them in the institution or a position named for them. And these are really great opportunities. The donor can visit the space, get reports about how it's being used, or have the holder of the position contact the donor. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Donor. I'm the John Smith Dean of Engineering, and I just wanted to thank you today for what you've done. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to also make sure that you ask your donors before you do anything public, like publishing a list of plan gift donors, either on the wall of the charity or in some printed materials or increasingly on websites.
So like, okay, but so what if the donor wants to remain anonymous? I mean, what do you do then?
That's easy. You simply say that's absolutely no problem. Let them do it. And then you steward them just like any other plan gift donor. Mm-hmm. You might have to ask their permission to do that, but that's okay. What's important is making sure the donor feels closely connected to the charity and that you have an opportunity to make that happen.
All right. So now that our listeners understand the importance and need for a stewardship plan, what are some tips you can provide to help them actually make it happen?
Okay. Well, you know, none of this just happens out of thin air.
Yeah.
It requires planning and budgeting to make sure there's an effective stewardship plan. And in my mind, a stewardship plan is much like a marketing plan, and there may even be some significant overlap, but it's the best way to assure that you've spelled out what will happen to recognize these donors. And once it's been put together, you'll know what all the events are, what type of reports are necessary, what other documents and strategies are going to happen in the year ahead, along with its cost. Now, at Veritas Group, one of the things we strongly recommend for an organization that's implementing this kind of stewardship is that it be implemented by an assigned staff person, such as a plan giving associate for stewardship. Mm-hmm. You know, by making sure that the plan is implemented, this staff person can focus on making sure that everyone who requires stewardship is getting it, and that the plan giving officer can then focus on raising more gifts. Since the donor usually has the best relationship with the plan giving or major gift officer, they should be part of that stewardship plan so that they continue to occasionally contact the donor. However, they need to remain focused on raising new planned gifts from their assigned portfolio.
That's great. Now, one thing you mentioned earlier is that planned gifts can change pretty frequently. So what do you recommend for keeping in touch with donors about that plan?
There's actually a really simple strategy, but it's really important to use it, and that is to reconfirm with them every now and then. Simply acknowledge the fact that people do change their minds and circumstances change and asset mixes change, and you just want to reconfirm with them that their commitment is still present. And that actually is a really great way to not only steward them, but to help them remember that it's important to keep that in their plans.
Yeah. And you just stay present in their minds as well, instead of like disappearing, you know, off the face of the earth. So, okay, Bob, so any final words of wisdom on this topic before we wrap up?
Well, I want to give some encouragement about what can happen when there's good stewardship of a planned gift. One thing I didn't mention is that it's really important to keep a relationship with a married couple, not just one person, because when the first person in a married couple passes away, the gift to the charity usually is expected to take place when the second spouse passes away. Do you have a good relationship with both spouses and with the surviving spouse? If you stewarded these people correctly, your likelihood of seeing a matured planned gift is going to be much more probable.
Okay, well, there you have it. How to effectively steward your planned giving donors. We've talked about why stewarding your donors is so important, some ways to approach this beyond a legacy or bequest society, and then how to set yourself up for success and how to plan for stewardship. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how to start a planned giving program more broadly, I highly recommend that you check out our free white paper on how to start a successful planned giving program. It's pretty apt name for it. In this resource, Bob shares about creating a planned giving society and other key aspects of creating buy-in and ensuring your success in planned giving. Okay, thanks so much, Bob, for spelling this out in detail. And by the way, Bob is available to help you get your planned giving society started. If you're looking to partner or a guide for you in this process, just contact our colleague, Amy Chapman, to get the conversation started about how we can support your planned giving efforts. So thank you for joining us today and for this conversation. And we look forward to partnering with you in your planned giving program. Take care.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.